This is the word of God found in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22, the sixth verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think this verse has a message for all of us, not just those that are trying to raise children in the house right now. I think there's something in this for every one of God's children, particularly those that are trying to be disciples of Jesus Christ. But let's look at the straightforward practical lesson about parents and children first, and then look at the lesson for us. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, in the lesson for us, we're the child. But let's look at the practical, everyday, first glance lesson there. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up includes teaching, but it's more than teaching. Those of you that have been blessed to raise toddlers, don't you wish it was just potty teaching? You know, you say, there's the potty, you know, maybe here's a picture, go ahead and we'll have some M&Ms if we're successful, and there, it's done. You know, that's not the way it is, though. You don't have potty teaching, it's potty training. And that means you have to illustrate it, you have to encourage it, you have to stay with it, and by and by, one day when you least expect it, surprise, it took. You know, all of a sudden, the potty training is complete. You think, okay, I can reduce the diaper budget a little bit, and things have just gotten easier. Life has gotten easier. You're thankful for it. It's not potty teaching. It's potty training. And training includes teaching, but it's so much more. Those of you that have had athletic training or military training or job training know that if it's done well, it has teaching in it. There may be some written materials that you need to read and study. Maybe some spoken instruction. But there's also the one who's doing the training gives an example, shows you how it's done, lets you have a try at doing an easier version of whatever it is you're doing, critiques you, commends you for what you do well, lets you do it until you're proficient at it, and then you try something a little bit harder until finally you're trained. So it's like teaching plus. And this doesn't just say teach a child in the way he should go. It says train up a child. Now, it doesn't just say train a child. Train up. That means the one who's doing this training needs a good, clear idea about which way is up. When you're training a child, you want to know which way is up. That is what direction you want the child to go. And it means more than just get taller, get bigger, get into an adult body. There's a kind of habit or lifestyle you're hoping for. How are you going to know which way is up? Well, one way that's not maybe always so clear but usually helps is to look at other adults that have reached advanced age and think, what qualities do they have I would like to see in my child? Are they honest? Yeah. Are they hardworking? Yeah. Are they kind and thoughtful? Yeah. They polite? Yeah. That's what I want to teach my child. That's up. Now, the problem so many children have is their parents don't have a good idea about which way is up. You know, I want them to be great athletes. I want them to be rich. I want them to be involved in society. I want them to be well known. I want them to be famous actors. I want them to be famous politicians or something like that. And don't think about really which way is up. Up means honest, hardworking, thoughtful, kind. And you see this in other people, and so it helps you establish which way is up. But let me tell you a clearer way to establish which way is up. It's this book here. This book is a good, clear definition of which way is up. And I'm specifically talking about the New Testament, but you need the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the commandments in it, many of them were given specifically to the Israelites, but even those commandments given to the Israelites pointed to Jesus Christ and the coming of the New Age, and so the New Age of the New Testament revelation. It pointed that way in Galatians chapter 3, it says, Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So when you saw those laws of sacrifice, like Passover, that's pointing to the very day that Jesus Christ would die and set us free, just as God set the children of Israel free from slavery in Egypt on Passover night. Jesus Christ sets his children free from sin and death. He set spiritual Israel free from sin and death on Passover, the Day of Atonement. The high priest went alone into the sanctuary. So the Lord Jesus Christ entered into heaven itself, having obtained eternal redemption for us. His blood was shed, and he was successful, and he intervened as our high priest and made intercession for us. He atoned for our sins. These are just a few examples. But over and over again, the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. But when we want to know exactly what should we be like, what are the commandments given to us, those are contained within the New Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edify. There's several things there. So if you really want the good, clear, solid, unchangeable direction to point which way is up to train up your child, be a student of the Scripture. The whole Scripture, especially the New Testament. Be a student of Scripture so that when you're doing more than teaching your child, you're training your child, you can train them up. Up means more like the one who is on high. So train up a child. So the younger you start, the better. In the way he should go. Now, brothers and sisters, let me emphasize this. The Scripture here doesn't say in the way he shall go. You can't cause that to happen. You, even the best parent, cannot determine the way his child shall go. You know why? Because they grow up to be an adult, and they make their own choices, and they have their own responsibilities, and they do what they choose to do. They make some mistakes. They may surpass you in successes. They may fall short of what you had hoped. They may surpass what you hope. They are individuals with their own abilities and their own life to live. You cannot determine the way they shall go, but you can give them the way they should go. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Who wrote this proverb after all? Well, the Holy Spirit did. But who did the Holy Spirit inspire to write this proverb? Solomon. Now, was Solomon raised by a man of God? Yeah, his dad was David. He was a man after God's own heart. Now, David made some terrible sins, but he was a man after God's own heart. His mom was Bathsheba. Bathsheba loved him. Bathsheba's dad was Amiel, which was one of David's mighty men. Amiel's dad was Ahithophel, the smartest guy in the nation at that time. So Solomon's got this from two sides. He's got all these brains from his mom, and he's got this godly teaching from his dad, who God blessed to write Scripture also. So Solomon's got this. Was he trained up by David? Yeah, David trained him up. David spoke much instruction to him. He prayed for him. And did Solomon have that and do something good with it? Yes. The Bible tells us Solomon loved the Lord. We find out that he was that way, but did Solomon stay with it? What happened to Solomon? When he was old, his wives turned away his heart from following after the Lord, and he built temples to idols and allowed sacrifice to them, and he turned away from God. And in chastisement, God said, I'm going to take 10 of the tribes of Israel away from your son that reigns after you. I'll leave him the tribe of Judah. And of course, there were other tribes that was associated, such as the Levites, that they were going to serve the temple. But Solomon's son got mainly the tribe of Judah. And 10 of the tribes went off with one of Solomon's servants, a man named Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And Solomon turned from following the Lord. So did David teach Solomon the way that he should go? Yes. Did David determine the way that Solomon shall go? No. The best you can do as a parent is train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, that means as years go by, he gets to be an adult, and he gets to be a middle-aged adult, then he gets to be an old adult. I want you to know this. This is Brother Fred mentioned the promises of God. You know, a lot of our problem is we start making up things that we think are promises of God, and then we're disappointed when he doesn't keep them. Well, he doesn't keep the things he doesn't promise. We need to quit making up promises. The promises of God are written in the Scripture. If you will read, God keeps his promises. He's faithful. Okay, so what does this mean? When he's old, he shall not depart from it. He will not depart from it. Notice, it's the way he should go, but he will not depart from it. It means this. If you train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he will still know the way he should go, whether or not he goes that way. He will have that direction in him. He will know what is right, what is wrong, what his mom and dad taught him. He will know that till the end of his life, whether or not he professes to agree with it, whether or not he follows it, he will have it with him. I've likened it before as putting a gyro compass in a rocket ship. You know, you can put that compass in there. Something can go wrong with the rocket. It can fire a retro at the wrong time or lose an engine, veer off course, but it will still have in the gyro compass accurate direction of the proper course. It will know the way it should go, even when it doesn't go that way. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. What about Solomon? Solomon was old and he departed, but did he still know the way he should go? Read the book of Ecclesiastes, where he's describing how hard and bitter old age can be sometimes. And he describes what it's like and the mechanisms that come to death, such as when your heart stops or your kidneys fail or your spinal cord is broken or something like that. And he mentions death. He says, then shall the spirit return. Then shall the body return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to the Lord who gave it. But how did Solomon end the book of Ecclesiastes? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And then he says, and God will bring it into judgment. So did Solomon go the way he should? No. Did Solomon know the way he should? Yes. And we have it recorded in Scripture. Okay. So for those that are blessed, and we're blessed to have some with us, I think you know this. Train up a child, train up. Look in the Scripture for up. Look for good examples for up. Train, that means you teach it, you say it. And let me just say this before I leave the subject to parents. Train also means that in addition to teaching and illustrating and commending and criticizing, things like that, you set the example. You show how it's done. If you really would like your children to be honest, what does that mean you have to do? You've got to be honest. If you would like your children to learn manners, that means you need to speak in a polite. You need to use please and thank you. Yes, sir. No, sir. If you want your children to grow up hardworking, not only be hardworking, let them see you be hardworking. And don't gripe about it and complain about it and talk about how you'd like to win the lottery and get out of it. Just let them know it's hard, and I sure would like to rest, but blessed to be able to do this, and we need the money, and off to work I go. You know, let them see the reality of that. If you would train someone, give the example. I say it over and over, and it seems like I say it more these days. If you really believe in Jesus Christ and His grace, be gracious. Be gracious in your speech. Be thoughtful in your speech. If you believe in grace, be gracious. All right, how does this apply to all of us? You children of God, you've got a perfect Father. And He is training you up. He is training you up. Now, does it include teaching? Yes. Let's see. How does God teach us? How does He teach His children all over the world, no matter what may be their background? Well, listen to 1 John here, and I'll read in chapter 2, verse 26 and 27. John writes, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him." Someone that is a child of God, please, I say this over and over, but I want you to know this truth and have it in memory. As Brother Fred just read to us, before creation, God the Father chose a specific people in Jesus Christ. He didn't choose a method of salvation. He chose people unto salvation in Jesus Christ. It's a great number. It's a number that no man can number. It's likened to the stars of the sky. It's from every place on the earth, every background and language and things. God chose a people in Jesus Christ. It is a huge number of people. And during the right point in human history, God the Son, in full agreement with God the Father, came to earth as the man known as Jesus of Nazareth, and He lived a perfect life, never committed the sin, was always pleasing to the Father, and then suffered Himself to be taken and tried unjustly and crucified, thereby being made a sacrifice for the sins of the people that God the Father chose in Him. Over and over, quote at the verse, "He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Jesus Christ died to redeem all that God the Father chose or elected in Him. And then, for each of those persons that are redeemed, sometime during their life, between the time they're conceived in the womb of their mother and the time they physically die and go on to the Father in heaven by death, they are quickened or made alive or born again by God the Spirit. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they're not out of sync with each other. So many folks, good Christian folks, don't understand this. They think, well, God the Father chose everybody and God the Son redeemed everybody at the cross, but God the Spirit only quickens and regenerates those who will accept it. That's not the teaching of the Bible. You don't have God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit out of sync. You don't have God the Father, and some people mess up this way. They say God the Father chose just some, the elect, but then God the Son died for all of them, and so His death is sufficient for all, but only efficient for the elect. And so then God the Spirit only causes those that God the Father elected, but God the Son died for them all anyway. Well, that way God the Father and God the Spirit are working together, but God the Son suffered more than He than he was even had a mission to do. You see, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all work together in harmony. So those that God the Father chose, God the Son redeemed, and God the Spirit quickens. Why did I say all that? Because when somebody is quickened, the teaching starts within. We just read that John says, but the anointing that you have of him teacheth you all things. God, the Holy Spirit, is within you, teaching you the way that you should go. That is not the only scripture that lets us know that. Over in Titus chapter 2, it says in verse 11 and, well, I'll read 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And if you read it in context, you'll see that doesn't mean all men in the human race. It means all kind of men, because it just got through with various categories. And here's something else that pins that down. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Doesn't say that it appeared to all men, but it teaches us. Who is that? God's children that are born again. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should, not shall, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There's something in God's child when he's born again that is teaching him. It is the presence of God within him. It is the Holy Spirit. It is Christ in you. The hope of glory is teaching you. Now, will this always change you in a way that other people can see? No. But will it change you in a way God knows about? Yes. It will teach you. And so you are being trained up in the way you should go. You should live holy lives, denying ungodly lust. It will teach you in the way that you should go. Will you necessarily always go that way? No. David didn't. He committed his sin with Bathsheba. But will God finish that lesson and bring you so that you shall walk in it, that it shall not depart from you? Yes, because when this life is over and you die physically, James says it this way, lust when it hath conceived bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Brothers and sisters, physical death is scary. Sometimes I'm afraid of dying. I think I'm more afraid of hurting. But I want you to know this, that I do struggle with sin. It's just part of living here on earth. But one day, when I lay this old body down, this is what I rejoice to believe. Sin is finished. And I am finished with sin. And the way that the Holy Spirit has been teaching me within that I should go, I'll go that way. I'll be trained up. Does God train you? Okay, we've been reading about teaching us that denying these things, or the anointing that's within you teaches us. Does he train us? First, does God give us an example? Oh, yeah. Well, who's our example? Jesus Christ. We read the scriptures here. We see a man that always did what pleased God the Father. He's our example. Well, what about the criticism and commendation? Does God ever criticize us or commend us? Does he ever chastise us when we go astray and reward us when we follow in his ways? Yes, he does. God rewards obedience. He chastises disobedience. So there it is. And is it heading upward? Well, what's the point of God being within us and changing us and one day glorifying us? What's his goal? What's he trying to arrive at? He's arriving at this, for whom he did foreknow, them did he predestinate to be conformed, what? To the image of his Son, that he, his Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Do you see what God is training us up to be? He's training us as his adopted children up to be like his only begotten Son. Now, does that mean we'll rule the universe? No. The universe always has been and always will be ruled by the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ now. But you know what it means? We'll be like him in character. We'll be like him in personality. We'll be individuals. But we will be honest. We will be loving. We'll be faithful. We'll be true. We'll be holy and without blame before him in love. Brother Fred just read that to us. We'll be holy and without blame before him in love. Does that sound good? It sounds wonderful. The idea of being holy and without blame before God in love. That sounds so wonderful. That's what he's training us up to be. So what's the point of the gospel and the church? It is, go ahead and pay real close attention to your training right now and start enjoying the goodness of being trained up before you get there when the training is complete. That is, don't be hard to train. Don't struggle against God. Don't think, you know, people get so mixed up. Well, if the Lord's going to get all his people to heaven anyway, then I'll just go ahead and enjoy a life full of sin like that. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit in you, He will suffer you to commit sins. And you might, listening to the devil, enjoy it for a little while, but let me tell you what, it will impoverish your soul. It will bring misery and guilt to you. It's like the psalm said about when the children of Israel complained and cried out and God sent them quails and they ate the meat, and it says they ate, but he sent leanness into their soul. You want to really mess up your love life? Just go be promiscuous. You'll find it shrivels your heart. You want to enjoy possessions? Just be materialistic and worship things. And you'll find out that none of your possessions give you pleasure. You want to rejoice in fame and try to please everybody and have everybody notice you? Just go ahead and do it. And when you obtain it, you'll long for the time that you could have privacy and a quiet time just with your Lord or your loved ones. Brothers and sisters, listen to his training. Don't go after the things of this world. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. For those that are parents, it's a good lesson. But for all of us, we're the children. We're the children. Will God our Father train us up in the way we should go? Yes, indeed, he's doing it. The thing is, will we listen? Will we obey and follow our Lord Jesus? May God bless you. Our Father in heaven, dear Lord, thank you for redeeming us, though we deserve nothing. Lord, thank you for quickening us. We know, Father, that even the ability to believe in our Savior Jesus Christ as the Son of God is because you have called your children from death and trespasses and sins to life in Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, thank you for training us. Help us to be better students. Help us to be better disciples. Help us to listen to your training. Help us to learn from your chastisement and be grateful for the rewards, oh God, that you give us. And thank you, Lord, for the grace that has flooded our lives, the many things that you've given us. And Lord, we know times of hardship come upon us, even as they did upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, even as they did in lesser degree to Job and to Moses and to David and other servants of God. Help us, Lord, in times of hardship to be trained up to have fellowship with the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And in the times of joy, Lord, help us to be trained up to rejoice and be grateful and to be loving of others. Forgive us our sins, Lord. Give us your Spirit. Give us your wisdom. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.